Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of July, recording at 9:15 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. And what a dramatic week it's been. For stock markets, it's been a bloodbath in Europe and the USA, and that continued today with Wall Street closing on its lows, down 1.5 on the Dow in percentage points. That's 208 points, 1.6% on the S&P, 1.43% on the NASDAQ. Those are bigger declines than we saw in Europe, because Wall Street had much smaller losses when the European markets closed. Now, the European market, the Asian markets had been largely immune to the selling pressure that we had seen, but they wobbled yesterday, and a number of them saw some big downward dynamics here today. But they've shown vastly superior performance on a relative basis, with China actually uncoupling and remaining very, very steady. Now, government bond yields, against the background of these weak stock markets, have rallied quite steadily here this week. Now, I'm just going to step back because I mentioned that Asia had been generally steady. Japan has been the exception to that. Japan has been weaker for longer. Now, as I say, government bond prices moving up all week, and that continued today. The U.S. dollar has had a big rally here in the last 3 days. And so obviously that continued here today with some quite chunky gains on the dollar, which had been under pressure for the previous 2 months. And the precious metals sector that succumbed to Wall Street contagion and has fallen sharply. These prices were down today, although not that much. Gold trading at 661.4 here after hours. And the crude oil price has been generally quite firm. It's been volatile here near last year's highs, but currently 77.03 after hours. That's up $2.08. So that's quite a hefty move. And the soft commodities have been mixed to easier this week. Industrial metals, and mostly a little bit easier, particularly those that had been under pressure recently, such as nickel, which is probably searching for a bottom in the $30,000 region, and lead, which has peaked, I believe, after an acceleration up to the $3,500 level. Tin remains quite strong. The others are just ranging. Now, so what's going on here overall? Well, this is a full-blown correction here, certainly for the European and U.S. stock markets. And I don't see any evidence that it's over. There has been some downward acceleration. There has been some very heavy volume. And those are climactic signals, but we're coming off highs after a very good run. And the selling pressure can continue for a while. I would really want to see some upward dynamics. Loss of downward momentum, some upward dynamics. Most of these sell-offs, these bigger sell-offs, end with a sharp fall. And then you get a good bounce, the first upward dynamic. Small technical rally, then the market comes back, and looks at the earlier reaction low. This can happen relatively quickly within the space of a week or two, and then gets more upward dynamics, giving an all-clear signal. Now, we haven't seen anything in the form of those upward dynamics. The Asian markets, which have so often been high beta in the past, I suspect may well be lower beta here this time around. One reason for that is that when they have better fundamentals, they have stronger economies. They did not have overextended valuations, well, it's certainly not relative to what we were seeing on Wall Street or in the European markets. I would exclude China from that, but that's a special situation. A little bit more on that in a moment. And there is certainly much less involvement with any of the subprime derivative instruments among the Asian banks. An exception there may be the Japanese banks. I'm not sure about that, but I had read that the Japanese banks did hold a number of these credit these CDO derivatives. Now, China, what about China? Well, we know it's a closed market, not entirely anymore, but a largely closed market. And so certainly the Chinese banks aren't going to be holding many of these credit derivatives. And it's a very, very strong growth story. And there is an enormous amount of liquidity in that economy. So I the technical pattern still looks very, very strong. And as I said before, why should someone in Shanghai be worried about the housing crisis in the United States? And if any market's going to uncouple in here, I've said this before, but it's likely to be China, and we're certainly seeing that this time around. Now, when Wall Street's falling in chunky declines, 300 points yesterday, another 200 points in here today, the Asian markets are going to be, most of the Asian markets are going to be influenced by that. Not least because American investors and European investors have substantial investments in Asia. And what we're really seeing here right now is a bit of a scramble for liquidity. Now, private investors don't need to be scrambling for investors. Well-managed funds don't need to be scrambling for liquidity. But overleveraged hedge funds, particularly those that have been holding these dodgy credit derivatives, may well need to scramble for liquidity. So that's the situation we see. And there are plenty of rumors, obviously, flying around the markets in terms of who's under pressure, who's going to have to sell. And when you get some of these leveraged players forced to reduce leverage, then the selling is going to be fairly indiscriminate. And it's not at all unusual for them to sell some of their better assets, better performing assets, if only because they can actually do so. So that's the situation we have right now. And the it's not pleasant to ride one's way through this. I'm not inclined, as you know, to sell any of my core long-term investment positions. I certainly expect some erosion. I've seen that before, and previously, I've taken advantage of these sell-offs by actually adding to favored positions once the dust settles. No doubt I'll do so again, but I'm not going to go rushing in at this stage because liquidity is not a problem here, and I want to I want to see some evidence that the downward momentum is waning before I commit capital. Excuse me, I just have to have a little cough here. Now, how serious is this actually going to be? Well, of course, everybody's got a view on this subject, and nobody knows for sure. But I would say that this correction is certainly more serious than what we saw, which was just a reaction last February, triggered by China. I would also say that this medium-term correction for the European, for at least the European and the U.S. markets could be more significant than the correction that we saw back in June. Is it a bear market? No, I certainly don't think so, as I've said before. Do we have a genuine credit crunch here? Well, you have credit problems, obviously, with the subprime loans. There are credit problems for the over-leveraged investment banks, which were involved in providing so many of the bridging loans for the LBO activity. But do we have a credit problem for corporations generally? And the answer is no. And you can see that in the long-dated government bond yields, which are not that high, and they're actually coming down, taking their cue from the stock market. And as the stock market is weak, we get the so-called flight to quality coming back into the long-dated government bond yields, as I've mentioned before. So this is a correction. I don't know how far it will actually carry. I think that it's best to just let the markets actually show us. We may need to get some intervention here on the part of the, may need to see some intervention, I should say, on the part of the U.S. Federal Reserve. I mentioned that yesterday, and I repeat that again today because this is a problem that was largely made in America. And the Federal Reserve is really the only central bank that's in a position to do anything about it, should it choose to do so. And that would probably be a wise move, because you don't want to have a decline snowballing for very long. Now, it was interesting to see, I think Hank Paulson, I suspect, had organized the four top economic spokesmen of the U.S. administration, and they had a little sort of press conference with CNBC this afternoon. Some of you may have actually seen it. And after I watched that, I thought, well, you know, this isn't going to achieve anything here. Good intentions, but they weren't really addressing the issues. I mean, all we had Paulson saying, the global is saying, first, I believe in a strong dollar. The global economy is strong. Our economy is strong. Our exports have gone up. And on credit, he didn't take many questions on that, but said, well, it was a re-rating and a wake-up call, without elaborating on what a wake-up call, or what he actually meant by a wake-up call. But needless to say, there were no discussions of the hedge funds. There were no discussions of the subprime loans as such, and no questions regarding the seriousness of the situation. This was a carefully orchestrated in advance press release session. Well done, CNBC, for getting to host it, but they didn't really tell us anything. And it'll take a little bit more, I suspect, to check some of the credit-related fears that are circling in the markets. What would that be? Well, that could be an injection of liquidity. That could be the Fed stepping in and directing the Freddie Macs and Fannie Mae's to pick up these subprime loans, which the Fed would obviously help them with. That means the taxpayer ultimately pays for it. It could be any number of things. It could be a short-term interest rate cut, although I think the situation, the sell-off would have to get worse before that, considerably worse before that actually happened. As I said, these things are unpleasant, but they do tend to end fairly quickly. And I would expect that to be the case this time around as well. So, I think we'll see further selling next week, and really, that will create some, over the next few weeks, I think we will certainly see some excellent buying opportunities created, and the sectors that I will be most interested in will be the ones that I've been interested in all along. And they will be primarily Asian emerging markets and also the resources sector. And I think some of the commodity producing markets, markets such as Brazil, and these will all be offering an additional buying opportunity. But I'm in no hurry, as I say, to rush in. I want to see some technical evidence that these markets are steadying first. Now, long-dated government bonds, we've got a good rally underway, obviously. I have mentioned every day that they're taking their cue from stock markets. So as long as stock markets are weak, I would expect this long-dated government bond market rally to continue when we see the upward dynamics and probably double-bottoming type activity suggesting that the stock market, or indicating that the stock market correction is over. Shortly thereafter, I would expect the bond futures to lose upward momentum and roll over. In other words, the bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, would lose downward momentum and then start to move higher again. That would certainly create, well, that would certainly indicate to me, if I held any of the long-dated government bonds, I don't, but it would indicate to me that I should be getting out of those positions. And it would also indicate to me that the long-dated government bond futures, the 10-year bond futures, would be shorts. That's not the case today, but I think we will see that opportunity in the next few weeks. Again, it would be prudent to wait until we see those long-dated government bond prices lose upward momentum and then begin to roll over. Now, why will that happen? Because we still have a strong global economy here. I think that with the U.S. economy, I think that the strength that we just saw, I think it was 3.4% for the second quarter. I think that that's perhaps artificially strong. I think that there was an element of inventory buildup in those figures. I would not be at all surprised if the third and fourth quarter figures, aren't weaker than that. But they ought to be above the flat line that would indicate recession. So in other words, we'll get some growth, albeit slower growth in the U.S. economy in the third and fourth quarters. But the U.S. economy, I think, is going to remain the weaker one overall, whereas the global economy, I expect to remain quite firm. And I don't see any, with the U.S. economy should be ticking along well enough at least to not be damaging the Asian economies, which export to the U.S. Might be some slowing, but not enough to damage those economies. And where Asia would be a little bit vulnerable on the export side, the domestic side in those countries is growing. The consumer side in those countries is growing very, very rapidly, and I would expect that to more than offset a temporary slowdown in their exports, if we even see that. I'm not convinced that that we will. Now, I expect the demand for industrial resources to remain very strong, and I expect the price action for those industrial resources to remain quite volatile overall. There are some interesting statistics going up today when I get comment of the day up on some interesting projections from Ivy Hambro. He's one of the managers of the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust. Some interesting projections regarding the consumption of industrial commodities. Well worth having a look. Now, what else to mention here? On the currencies, the number of times that Hank Paulson mentioned that U.S. exports were up in that brief little press release with CNBC this afternoon really convinced me that that the softness of the dollar was far more important to him than the repeated phrase about my preference is for a strong dollar. That's for political reasons. Obviously, you're not going to get the U.S. Treasury Secretary saying that he wants a weak dollar to be even weaker. But I think given the U.S. economic situation, given the strength of the global economy, which he kept mentioning, I think that the U.S. realizes that it needs to be able to export everything that it possibly can. And that is going to require a very, very competitive U.S. dollar. So I see the dollar as really getting no more than a technical rally in here. If you have had a persistent two-month decline, as we had with the U.S. dollar, then that will have enabled quite a few people to build up fairly large short positions. And once, and of course they'll use trailing stops on those leveraged positions, or at least the sensible ones will. And therefore, once the short covering rally commences, it can be fairly dramatic, as we've seen this week. But I don't think it will get all that far. I don't think it will last all that long before we begin to see renewed downward pressure on the U.S. dollar. But I would want a technical signal to indicate that. And if we get a big technical rally in the dollar, then when it loses momentum, we would get some more trading opportunities to go in and short the dollar against some of the stronger currencies, which would include the Asian currencies, which would include the commodity-producing currencies, which would include sterling as well. The yen, inevitably, if we're getting some deleveraging in the markets, then we're going to see some of the yen carry trade unwound. And that's obviously going to be the portion of the carry trade in which the various different leveraged funds are participating. I don't think it'll be the proverbial Mrs. Watanabe out of Japan, who's been a big player in the carry trade from everything that I read, or according to everything that I read. So I think that the yen will remain generally a soft currency, although it's rallying quite sharply here now, as is the dollar. Again, as I say, some of those carry trade positions are unwound, but the dollar may well actually be weaker than the yen for a while longer once all the dust is settled. But I'll take my cue on that. That's a hunch. I'll take my cue on that from the chart action, as always. And soft commodities, well, it's really going to depend very much on what happens In terms of weather reports, we know the demand side, the big variables always supply. So far, the supply situation doesn't look that bad. So I think the chances of having serious food price inflation across the globe, which would certainly be the case if the U.S. grain and bean crops were hit by bad weather. That would cause quite a problem. I think that problem is going to be avoided this year, which would be a very good thing. That will give the central banks a little bit more breathing space and make them less likely to raise rates and less resistant to cutting rates, should they need to do so. And I think that's pretty much it. So, a dramatic week. I think we will start next week on the same footing. It'll be interesting, and as I say, it will bring some more extremely good buying opportunities, I suspect, in some of our favorite areas. Meanwhile, let's have a relaxing weekend. All the best.